Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, January 31st edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Made to the end of January, guys. So 1 month into 2020 already. It's crazy how fast the time goes by. And I just got to mention quickly, it's crazy. Like, time goes by really fast. It's been 1 year since I lost my dog, Yogi, and I really miss the guy, you know, and I just got to honor his memory a little bit here. You're such a great dog, and dogs are like family. So I really miss the guy. It's been exactly 1 year ago today that he left us, so I had to mention him. I really miss Yogi. He's a great dog. All right, so let's get into today's podcast. Not a lot to talk about. There wasn't a ton of news. Obviously, there was no UFC this week, so no fight-related stuff for the most part, but a few pieces of news and then a couple of fight announcements, so I'll get right into it. Let's start with Donald Cerrone. And hey, Ron Hubbard says, hey, bro. Hey, Ron, how are you, man? Let's start with Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone has denied taking a dive against Conor McGregor at UFC 246. I mean, obviously he didn't take a dive. The fact that he actually has to defend himself is kind of sad in my opinion, you know, but so many fans were going after the guy. He posted an Instagram picture yesterday, I think it was, and just basically some people were in the comments saying, yo, you took a dive, you took the easy way out, you took the money from Dana. And he basically said, you're an idiot, I didn't take a dive. And I 100% believe Cerrone. I don't think he took a dive. You know, I can't believe that there's fans out there that are quite frankly that dumb that believe he actually, a guy like Cerrone with that much integrity, would take a dive. I think he just got badly hurt and he just kind of wanted out of the fight after he got nailed in the face with those shoulder strikes and then the head kick. Like, he got badly hurt and he just started getting pounded to the ground and he just wanted out at that point. And I can't blame the guy. I just don't think it would have been good for him either way. Like, just even if he survived the barrage of punches on the ground, he would have got up and probably got pummeled even more. So to me, like, if anything, the fight could have been stopped a little bit sooner by Herb Dean. I think Cerrone didn't even want to go that long. So I don't think he took a dive at all. I can't believe people were actually saying that. It's kind of sad, actually. I mean, this is a guy that's had more fights in the UFC than anyone in history. That's crazy. Think about it. Like, the octagon is such a dangerous place. It's an extremely dangerous place to be. You can get badly hurt in there. And Cerrone knows that firsthand. He was hurt badly in this fight. And the fact that there's fans saying he took a dive is just disgusting. So, you know, he went and defended himself. He hasn't said much since the fight, obviously. He's kind of just taken, the back road here, I guess you could say, because just kind of like hasn't said too much. And I don't blame the guy. I mean, quite frankly, in some ways, he got embarrassed a little bit. I mean, he got outclassed. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy that's just sweat, blood, and tears in the octagon for over 10 years now. So he's an absolute legend. And for me, it's just sad that some people actually think that he would take money to throw a fight. And that's basically what his point was. Like, you think I would, you know, ruin my integrity for a paycheck? No. So I'm glad he actually did defend himself, and those fans that accused him of diving, especially these losers on his Instagram page. I mean, these people are like the lowest of the low. They call them keyboard warriors, right? These people are such losers. Like, they sit behind their keyboard, talk shit to fighters, and then expect the fighters not to say anything. Really? Like, would these people actually say this stuff to Cerrone or any fighter in real life? No, of course not. So it's sad that they would sit behind their keyboard and say that. You know, it's one thing to criticize him for his performance. Honestly, it was a bad performance, obviously. Like, he got knocked out in 40 seconds. He didn't do anything in the fight. His defense didn't look very good. But to accuse the guy of basically taking his paycheck and going home, I don't agree with that. That's not fair. That's not what happened. He just got beat. He got beat good. And he didn't provide much of a defense. But, you know, I think it says more about how good McGregor looked than Cerrone basically throwing the fight, which I don't believe happened, and which obviously he's denying now. So again, I definitely sympathize with Cerrone in this case, because, you know, this is a guy who's just provided us so much entertainment for so many years, and to have basically one bad fight and to be called out for it is pretty sad for those fans. Anyways, let's move on to the next thing here. Jimmy Manuwa possibly coming back. That'd be pretty sweet, right? Like, he's considering a comeback, apparently. I think it's a great move for Jimmy. I mean, I know that he retired last year. And listen, he was coming off a nasty knockout loss to Alexander Rakic. I said, like, that's a good move for him to retire, but it's been 7 months since then. He says he's feeling a lot better. I mean, he had been knocked out a couple times before that. And quite frankly, a light heavyweight division could use someone like Jimmy Manuwa right now. It's not the deepest division. The guy's still exciting. And, you know, for better or worse, he's still one of the top 15 guys in that division. Yes, his UFC record is not great. It's 6-6, so it's an even 500 record. But he does have some great wins. Look at these wins he has. Corey Anderson by knockout, OSP by knockout, and also Jan Błachowicz. And his losses, all the top 15 guys, Gustafsson, Rumble, Uzdemir, Błachowicz in the rematch, Thiago Santos, and Rakic. Those are all top 15 guys. So to me, he only really lost top fighters. Of course, he did get knocked out 5 times. That's always scary. That's why he retired in the first place. That's why even myself, I was like, you know, this is a good idea for him. But at this point, I think there are fights he can win. And I think that after taking this time off to think about things, it's a good spot for him to come back at. You know, Rumble might come back soon too. He might come back as a heavyweight. Gustafsson, he might come back as well. So a lot of these guys that retired are considering comebacks now. And MMA retirements never last. I just wish guys wouldn't actually like say the word retirement. I'd like for them to say, you know, I'm going to take some time off, like I take a layoff, you know, an indefinite layoff. I don't like how they announce the retirements and then come back on it. But, you know, in Manuel's case, I think if he does come back, I think the UFC would be the right spot for him. I know, he lost 4 in a row. That's obviously not a good thing, but look who he lost to. Rakic, Santos, Błachowicz, Uzdemir in that 4-fight losing streak. Those are pretty good fighters. Maybe he asked for his release. He could go to Bellator if that's the case, because Bellator holds all those events in Europe now, especially in England. So it's possible he could go there. PFL, I mean, he could enter that tournament. I don't think it makes sense for him at this point. I think he's better off just doing one fight here and there, rather than like 3 or 4 fights in like 6 months or whatever it is in PFL. So I think it's UFC or possibly Bellator for Jimmy Manuel. I believe he's still under contract. I could be wrong about that, but I think he is. And if that's the case, I think the UFC should try to bring him back if he does want to fight again. Having said that, you know, if he does come back and gets brutally knocked out once again, I mean, that's got to be it completely. Like, at that point, like, there's no way he should ever fight again. But at this point, you know, I just don't think there's that much shame in losing to guys like Rakic, Santos, and Uzdemir. Those guys are incredible. So to me, it's like double-edged sword. He could come back and get knocked out again, and all that time off, you know, was worthless. But I think after taking 7 months off, I think he's realized, you know what, I think I still have something left in the tank and to come back. And I think it's the same for his teammate at All-Stars, Gustafsson. They both kind of feel the same way. They both retired after that card in Sweden last year, and I think they're both considering a comeback. My guess is there is going to be a Sweden card coming up. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Like, there must be a card in Sweden. They've did it in, I think, like June a few times in the past, so maybe that's when they'll do it again. That'd be kind of cool to see that. So that'd be my guess, but we'll see what happens there. There's a couple of finances to talk about here. UFC 248, Deron Wynn versus Gerald Meerschaert. Good fight in the middleweight division, excuse me. You know, solid fight here. Deron Wynn is definitely, you know, a shorter guy for that weight class at 5'7", so one of the shortest guys, but he's still an effective fighter. He's 6-1 overall. He's coming off a loss to Darren Stewart, split decision. I think the size difference did show a little bit in there. Darren Stewart's a big dude for 185, but we can't forget how good he looked against Eric Spicely in his debut. He looked incredible in that fight. It was a great performance. He also has a really nice win over Tom Lawler in Golden Boy MMA from 2 years ago. So to me, you know, I think Deron Wynn is still, with that wrestling background and the training at AKA, I think he's still a pretty good, I wouldn't even say prospect because he's 30 now, but I'd say he's a decent fighter in that division. Having said that, Gerald Meerschaert's very underrated, very crafty, 32 years old, but, you know, this guy hasn't taken a lot of damage, only been knocked out once. He's very crafty in the ground, 22 submission wins. He does get submitted quite a bit. He's been submitted 8 times himself, but he's very crafty and very difficult to beat. Like, even his run in the UFC, like, overall, he's just 5-4, but he's lost a couple split decisions that could have easily gone his way, including his last fight against Eric Anders and the fight before against Kevin Holland. And if that's the case, he really would have only lost to, like, top guys in Hermanson and Santos. So this is an interesting fight for sure. I think Wynn in this case should be smart and would, you know, try to use his wrestling. But at the same time, you got to be careful on the ground if that's the case, because Meerschaert can submit you from his back, which is definitely dangerous for anyone. So interesting fight. I guess I'd lean towards Meerschaert just because he does have over 40 fights compared to 7 for Wynn, but Wynn definitely has a chance to win this fight. It's an interesting fight. And the other fight announcement here, UFC 250, that's the one in Rio in May. Augusto Sakai against Blagoje Vanov, so a pretty good heavyweight fight here. Augusto Sakai finally getting a real step up here against Vanov, top 10 guy. Augusto Sakai, 28 years old, 14-1-1. He's perfect in the UFC so far, 3-0. Beat Marcin Tybura by knockout in his last fight. Great performance in Vancouver. Also beat Andrei Arlovski by split, which was a really controversial decision. And then he did beat Chase Sherman before that by TKO as well. 5-fight win streak overall. 1 loss in his career, and was to Chia Kong and Bell to a split decision. So this guy's solid. I mean, he's a decent fighter. He's only 28. He's young. Honestly, Bellator probably should have kept him around, because they could use some young heavyweights right now, not just the 40-year-old guys they have in their division. But, yeah, you know, this is an interesting fight with Ivanov, another former Bellator guy, 18-3 in 1-0 contest. He's 33. He's a little bit older, but still definitely a good fighter. He's just 2-2 in the UFC, but he had some nice wins over Tuivasa and Rothwell. The loss to Derek Lewis in his last fight, super close fight. And then the JDS fight, I mean, he got beat up in that one, but still, there's no shame in losing to JDS. Overall, I think this is a close fight. I don't know. It's a tough one to call. I guess you have to favor Sakai a little bit because it is in Brazil, and he's a little bit younger and a little bit fresher. But Ivanov's a solid fighter, and I wouldn't completely count him out of this one. So it should be an interesting fight. I like the matchup. UFC 250, of course, is scheduled to be headlined by Jose Aldo against Henry Cejudo. I'm just seeing what else is out there. I noticed there's some new odds out there up best fight odds right now. The Bellator card coming up in February has odds out. Also, the UFC Auckland card has odds out as well, so that's pretty cool. The Romero card is filled up. Of course, the card in Rio Rancho, and of course, next week's UFC 247, the odds are all for that card. I should mention that they did drop the odds for that new fight between Austin Lingo and Yusuf Salal, and they opened at crazy odds. They opened at Lingo minus 500 and Salal plus 375, and the line's dropped. It's only minus 185 for Lingo and plus 155 for Salal. So clearly the early bettors thought there was value on Salal at like plus 375. I think Lingo does win. And honestly, at this point, there might be some value in him, but that opening line was obviously too high considering these guys don't have any experience. You can't really open a guy like that minus 500. I don't know what the book was thinking there, but they obviously got eaten alive for that early plus money on the underdog. So we'll see what happens there. I'll be back with Cole next week to break down that card. I'm looking forward to talking about that card. It's going to be a good card. Two title fights. John Jones is coming back against Reyes. And, of course, we've got Shevchenko against Chookagian. They did the stare downs yesterday. Should be interesting next week with that card. Definitely a fun card. I mean, not the deepest pay-per-view we've ever seen, of course, but the top two fights are basically the selling point for that card, especially in the main event. It's a card that's being stolen John Jones' name, and you know that's going to make people buy it. All right, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. Short one today for Friday, but you know it is Friday, so wanted to get ready for the weekend. Guys, have an amazing weekend, seriously. I hope you guys enjoy it. Another weekend without the UFC, but this is the last week of the UFC for next 2 months, so make the most of it. That's what I'll say. If you want to go out tomorrow night, enjoy your night, because coming up, you know, Saturday night's off. It'll be more fights. So if you want, you know, go out tomorrow and then get ready for 2 more months of the UFC. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a grind, but I am excited to watch all these cards coming up. There's some good fights coming up. All right, guys. In the meantime, check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin and the podcast. And my home is MMAoddsBreaker.com. And I'm also available at BJPen.com and MMAratings.net. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I hope to be 100% by Monday. I've been pretty much knocked out this whole week, guys. It's been a really rough week for me personally, just with this illness. But I think I'll be back healthy and 100% by Monday, if I had to guess. I'm starting to feel a lot better. So once again, guys, thanks for bearing with me this week. I know my voice hasn't been there, but I think we'll be back in a few days. Have an amazing weekend, guys, and I'll be back Monday for the Monday edition of the podcast. Bye.